Well, welcome again to Father's Day. Just ignore what they're doing in there. It's probably their no teach day, and they're probably just having crumpets and stuff. So, anyway, it's Father's Day. As a younger boy, I absolutely worshiped my dad. I thought he was just the greatest guy ever. He did things that I wanted to do, and I just wanted his approval all the time. You know, there's a cycle that we go through. When you're little, you just want the approval of your parents. I mean, what little kid doesn't do any kind of sporting activity or something that doesn't look from the sidelines or from the field to see that their parents are there? And they just want the approval of their parents. Then they hit that window of teenage mucky yuck that they just want to please themselves. Forget about everybody else. Just want to please themselves. And we all went through it. We experienced the times that, you know, devil may care about anybody else, but I'm just about me. And then you find that significant other, and you have a child of your own, and then all you want to do is please that child. And you're back around full cycle. But when I was young, we have several visitors here. I've really only done two things in my life. One is I rode bulls over half of my life in professional ranks. And the other, I really didn't do anything but that. So my stories or examples come from either me riding bulls or my own children. And the reason that I use them a lot is just plug your kids into that spot. You know, it's not a spotlight on my kids, but just plug your kid, you know, into there. And the family relationship that we have, we see from God our Father. And we'll see that as to how God shows us how to be a father. But when I was younger, and all I wanted to do was be the world champion. And it's very difficult to win any kind of title. I mean, everybody else is trying to do it. My son's football team in high school won the state football championship. Well, guess who was favored to win it the next year? Guess who didn't win it the next year? It's tough. It's hard to do. Anyway, it was something that I wanted to do, and it almost became a project for my dad and I. You know, he was able to use me. I had younger, fresher legs, and he was able to use me and mold me and make me to be at the point where we thought I had a shot at being the world champion. And honestly, yeah, I wanted to do that, but more than anything else, I wanted his approval more than the world's approval. And used to, when I was younger, I would stand around with him a lot, and I'd been around forever, and they would always get into the conversation who the best one ever was that they'd ever seen. And they would always ask my dad. My dad was 3-time world champion, and so they would always ask him, hey, you know, who do you think the best one ever was? And he always would say this one certain guy. He said, man, this one guy is as good as I've ever seen. And my goal from a little boy starting to ride calves on up was one day when they asked my father that, I wanted him to be able to answer me. That was my approval more than any title that I could win. And when I was in my adulthood and at the top of my game, my dad was able to see me ride at the national finals, and he made the statement, that's the best I've ever seen. And if you talk to him this morning and you ask him the question, he'll tell you the same thing. And I did what I wanted to do in my rodeo careers. I wanted the approval of my father. Isn't that what we want to do with the approval of our Heavenly Father? On an earthly scale. We had our father-son camp out yesterday, and there's 3 or 4 guys here that was there yesterday, and Brother Stewart came and talked about father-son projects. And Brother Crawford mentioned that there'd be several of that used today. And I said, yeah, about five different churches will use that same example. It was phenomenal. I'm going to tell you what it is here in a minute. So this isn't mine. I'm just going to repeat what it was. Good stuff, wasn't it? But then you go from me being the son, my relationship to my earthly father, to my fatherhood. I've got two kids. I've got a daughter that's now grown and married, and I don't know, I've just kind of given her to her son, which is biblical. It's his doings now. He makes the decisions, not me. That's how it's supposed to be. So I still have my son. I'm still molding and making him. He's 20. He's in college. He's a very gifted athlete. Y'all know all of his stuff that he's done, but more importantly that, he's got a very sweet spirit. Very, very sweet spirit indeed. And Brother Stewart talked yesterday about father-son projects. And after we pray, I'll tell you about some father-son projects. Father, thank you again for this day that we could have. And Lord, though it's not of you, recognizing Father's Day, that we do thank you for our fathers. And Lord, though this is a man-made day that we could celebrate, that we should be celebrating our earthly fathers and Lord, the guidance that they've given us. Lord, I pray that you would teach this message and, Lord, that we would see, Lord, our Heavenly Father through the things that we see here on earth. Lord, we thank you and give you the honor and glory in Christ's name. Amen. My son goes to college and he come home this time and he said, just come home, walked in the door. He said, Dad, I want to redo the trailer. We have a stock trailer that we bought many, many years ago and it's in disarray. Just, you know, you load cattle in it, go home, you know, you don't clean it out. I mean, it's just the floor began to get a little bad in it and had some splits in it, and you're afraid that maybe they'll stick a foot down or something. So I just never had the time, the inclination, you know, throw the money into it, whatever. But my son said, Dad, I want to do it. I want to redo the trailer. We dropped everything and we started this project. Boy, we got out there and stripped it all down and did some welding on it that needed to be done and got it all slicked down. Then we painted it all. Then we redid wood in it just like brand new. We even redid the logo that's on the side. It looks like a brand new trailer. We painted it to match the truck. And I mean, it was a project that he and I've done every evening. We'd go home and we'd get out there in the dark. We had our little cap lights on and we just did it. And as Brother Stewart mentioned yesterday, I could go in and sit down with him in the living room and say, well, son, how's it going in school? Or, you know, how's the woman's situation doing? And you wouldn't get three words out of him. But you begin to work around some stuff and talk, and we've had great conversation. We really have. You know, just either, you know, things that have come up, what's been on his mind. And generally that's what I want to know is, you know, I just want to know how it's going along with him. But we did this trailer project. We're very proud of the work that came out of it. But what it means to me is the thing that my son and I did together. You know, that's what it is. And we've done that all of his life. I'd generally drop anything and we'd build a treehouse, or we'd build a fort in the woods, or we'd do whatever to spend that time with them. And when people ask me, you know, hey, how do you get the effect out of your kids? It's time. You know, your kids understand that where your value's at. My son has played sports since he was big enough. His first word ever was ball. So he's played sports. I've not missed a game. He plays college football. We go to all the college games wherever they're at. I still tear up when my son runs on the field. I can't help it. I'm very proud of him. And like I say, he's a good kid, you know, more than his gifted athleticism. And again, plug your kids into here. It's not just my kid, but it's the relationship that I have with my son. I just absolutely worshiped my dad. I really would like that out of my son. Now worship in the right sense. You understand what I mean? I want him to want to spend time with me. I want him to want me to be involved in his doings and his stuff. And he does, you know. But we see the same relationship of our Heavenly Father. We talk about doing projects, and Stan, I know your kids and you've done projects. Y'all built stuff. You know, everybody's done stuff with their kids. But we see biblically that God the Father and God the Son did some projects. Creation was a father and son project. Yeah? Creation of man, look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." He said, "Let us." So, this project that God the Father and Son did created human beings. Created human beings different than He did any other creation. Other creations have bodies. Some even have spirit. But only human beings have a soul. That soul is the image of God. That eternal image of God is to live forever is the soul. The body is of the earth. Other beings have a consciousness or something that gives them, I mean, you know, you can train animals. You know, they have a consciousness on them in themselves, but they don't have that eternal spirit that we have. I don't want to get into whether you're little toe-toes in heaven or not. I don't want to get into that with you, but animals don't have the Spirit of God that we have. Look at John chapter 1. Just in backing up the project that they did, John chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." We see that the creation project was a father-son project that they did together. Now, I'm using the term lightly, but it was a project they did. Think about Noah and his sons. Thank God they had a project together. Right? They did a project together that no one else helped with. Everybody pretty well made fun of them about. They didn't understand it. But God said, "I need you to do this." And thank God, Noah's sons obeyed Him and helped Him. I'm sure they were thanking themselves that they did that too when the flood waters came. You know, "Hey guys, I need y'all to help me do this. You don't understand it right now." You ever been there? "I need you to help me do this. You know, can't explain all of it, but we need to get it done. You'll see the end result later." I try and be patient and explain, you know, what we're doing, because sometimes I think far ahead and, you know, you go, "Just give me the saw," you know. But I try and be patient and say, "Hey, here's what we're doing. Here's the way we were doing it," or you know, what kind of an idea would you have? But then we see, and again, just in studying, several of y'all crossed my mind, and look in Luke chapter number 15. We see this is the story of the parable of the lost sheep, the lost money, and the prodigal. Now I want y'all to understand that if you read the scripture for what it is, it's not three parables. It's one parable. Read the wording. Verse 1 says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Now understand something. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is going to respond to them murmuring about him sitting down with sinners. And he's going to give them one parable with three different examples. If you look at the wording there, he says in verse 3, he says, "And he spake this parable." Then when he gets down to verse 8, he says, "Either what woman having 10 pieces," so he continues on in his parable. And then in verse 11, he says, "And he said, a certain man having 2 sons." So it's one parable. Now, the defining breakup of this parable is this. The first parable of the lost sheep represents the Son, Jesus Christ. There's some key words in there that you can look at. It says that He is the good shepherd, and He places the sheep on His shoulders there in verse 5. And verse 6 says, "And when He cometh home to heaven, He's going to bring them with Him." And each of these sheep are those that represent us are lost sinners. And then in verse 7, the end of this first part of it says, "Which needed no repentance." That's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The middle part of the lost money says that the widow woman lit a lamp. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit illuminates things to direct us toward the Son. And it says that who hadn't lost something and lit a candle and went around and tried to find it, that's representation of the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 11, it begins to talk about God the Father. Now, in my Bible, I have the Defender Study Bible, and it has in italics above it, the breakup of it, and it says the parable of the prodigal son. Most of y'all probably says the parable of the prodigal son. But I want you to know when you read the scriptures, it's not talking about the son. The emphasis is on the father. We understand why the son's in the situation he's in, but we see what the father did. It says there in verse 11, it says, "A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want." We talked about this a month or so ago. Everything's hunky-dory and we're all having a good time, and generally not in tight fellowship with God until we get in want. Boy, where'd I put God at? What shelf did I set Him on? We really do okay until we find ourselves in want. We talked about it last week about when the priest went into the Holy of Holies, his mind wasn't on himself, but it was on God. With all the things around and the furniture in there, everything pointed to the Messiah. And his mind wasn't on him or what he was needing. It was on God. Here the son turns his thoughts and he says, "I'm in want." He says in verse 15, he said, "And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent unto him into the fields to feed swine. And when he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself," boy, anybody ever come to themselves? That's what we call hitting rock bottom. You know, there's nowhere else to turn. And, well, look what mess I'm in. Look what I've done. When he saw himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and he came to his father. But, thank God for the buts in the Bible, huh? See, the son thought, hey, I'll just go and I'll just slip in and I'll be one of the servants and dad doesn't have to make anything of me. It'll just be me being one of the servants. He won't have to put up with me. If he can just give me a little, you know, think of me enough just to give me enough to sustain life. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's our Heavenly Father. I know our kids do things that we just finally can't put up with. And we say, you know what? Let them be. But our Father didn't do that. See, it's not about the Son here. It's about the Father. It's what the Father did. We understand what the Son did. We can relate to that. But it's what the Father did. Verse 21 says, "And the Son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son." You know, the things that I did as a teenager and through college and whatever, of course, wasn't that my father disapproved of it ever. He should have. He should have disapproved of it. But I could never quit being his son. Ever. It just can't happen. No matter what, there's no such thing as, I'll just disown them. You can't do that. They're your son. They're your daughter. You can't just disown them. Thank God that it's that way. Jesus said, once you're in my Father's hand, no man can pluck me out of the Father's hand. You don't quit being his son. How often could God say of us, you know what? I'm done. Thank God he didn't say that about me. Thank God that he didn't say, you know what? That's it. No more. I'm done. He stayed where he was at. Don't get me wrong there. He stayed where he was at. But he was all the time looking for his son. It says that he saw him from afar off and he recognized him. And what the father said, he was so happy because when his son had disowned him, said, "Dad, I don't want to do your rules anymore. I want to do my own thing. I want to call my own shots. Give me what you owe me." Look what the son's attitude was. In verse 12, he says, "Give me." Then when he hits rock bottom, in verse 19, he comes back and he says, "Make me. Change me. Make me what I need to be just to be a servant." But the father, he says in verse 22, "But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe." You know what that robe is? That's that robe of righteousness. He says, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And by the way, God wants to do that for us. God doesn't want to keep us repressed and humble. And all. No, God wants to do those things for us. Verse 23 says, "And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry." Verse 24 is the key. "For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Hallelujah. The Father had compassion. He said, my son, who chose to go and be dead. Didn't matter what the son had chose. That's not what the father wanted. The father continued to look for him. Again, the father stayed in his place. He wasn't going to leave and go chasing around. But when the son looked up, the father was right there ready. That's our heavenly father. Man, how many times, not a week, how many times a day do we get in that position? How many times do we say, hey God, I'll handle this one. You're busy. Yeah? Whoops, I messed that one up, God. Sorry, I should have kept you involved in this. But God stands there the whole time, always looking. You know, we can go as far away from God as we want to, but when we turn around, He's right there. He's always right there. God the Father shows us what love of the Father and Son is. Again, the parable is one parable talking about the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. And the Father is the emphasis here. And then we go back to seeing the projects of the Father and Son. Salvation is a project of the Father and Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now we understand that Jesus gave up His own life. No man took it. It was them together. There He hung on the cross and He said, it is finished. He was talking about salvation is finished. There's nothing more to add. You don't take Him down and get baptized. There's nothing else to add to it. It's finished. The only thing that He added to it was He remembered the Scriptures had to all be foretold. He hung on the cross and He said, I thirst. Because the Scriptures foretold that they would give Him vinegar to drink. He said, I thirst. It wasn't out of pity. It wasn't because He was parched. I'm sure He was. But the Scriptures had to be fulfilled. But there was nothing else added to salvation. Nothing. God the Father gave the Son. What a Father-Son project, huh? Thank God that we had those. Look in John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave. Here's the Father again. The Father is the one giving. You know, a lot of times when kids are growing up, whatever age, they don't have a full understanding of things. I know that I'm sure I still don't. But sometimes we have to show them or teach them the things that they need to get an understanding of. You know, when they're little and they reach up for the boiling pot, what do we do because we love them? We spank their hand because we love them. We don't give them time out. We don't count till 35 or whatever it is they count to. By then it's too late, right? The rule we had at my house is, if I said it, I meant it. I didn't have to repeat it. I just said it. That's what I meant. But we spanked them because we loved them. God says, you hate them if you don't. So they can do whatever they want to in society today. My kids were spanked. My wife did an awesome job. I spanked my kids like 5 times. But I made sure she took care of it. I was the heavy. It killed me. It literally killed me. You know, to try and keep them from falling when they start walking or start riding their bike. I mean, you would fall under them to keep them from getting hurt. And it just didn't make sense to hurt them. it does now, because I see the product. I didn't understand it. My little boy, when he was growing up, of course, he followed my footsteps. He wore the crunched up little hats and all my discarded stuff he would have. And of course, we had him little chaps since he was big enough to be out of the womb. And every year we changed them, and he went to the rodeos and he had his little cowboy outfit on, and he was just a little me. Today I can show my mother sitting right there pictures of me or my dad both riding bulls, and she can't hardly tell them apart. She says, "Is that you or your dad?" My son mimicked me all the way through. It was so cute when he used to get on the little calves. Of course, everybody was having a blast but me. That was my little baby boy on there, you know, and I'd run alongside, and, you know, I'd hit the ground and have him on top of me, and they'd like, "Leave him alone," you know. Then when he got to be about 14, he came to me and said, "Dad, I want to ride bulls." And part of me said, "All right, you know, oh, this is going to be great." And the other part of me said, "Oh my gosh." And I'll tell you, one of the greatest days of my life is when my son said, "Dad, I don't think I want to ride bulls anymore." Woohoo! Amen. That's a great day. I said, "Now, if you say you're not going to play football, we got to have words." But man, I'm telling you what, I got hurt more with him riding than when I did. Because I was right in the middle of everything. Right underneath him, you know, and it was just a great day for me when he said, "I don't want to try this anymore." And I said, "That's perfectly fine with me." You know, I still watch him today, and those grown men hitting him out there on the football field, I mean, it's tough watching. But now he's one of those grown men that can hit back, so it's not as bad a deal. But God cares for us in the same way. I told y'all time and time again, every one of y'all have perfect children. Right? I mean, when you get right down to it, you either don't see it, what we see, amen? Y'all don't see what we see, or you're blinded by love. And I'll tell you that our Heavenly Father sees us the same way. You know? We look at Charles and go, "Man, what a guy. Man, did you know he did?" God says, "You know what? He's perfect in standing before me. He's got the blood of my son on him. He's perfect." That's the way we see our own children. I know y'all's aren't perfect. Mine are. What are y'all laughing about? It's not that I don't choose to see it. They're covered in love. You know, that's how it is. And no matter what they do, you don't ever quit loving them. Right? You get tired of putting up with them. You get tired of saying, "Now look, for the 50th time, you can't, you know, when are you going to change? Why are you doing this to me?" All it takes is saying, "God, how long are you going to let me do that? God, how long are you going to put up with me? How long is it going to be?" You know, one of my fears is God saying, "Away with you. I don't want to mess with you anymore." That's a fear. Because I sin. You know. I didn't want to say it while he was here, but Dr. Henderson sins. He's gone now. I can say that. I wouldn't have said it with him here. In a minute way, James Stone sins. I don't know what they are, but I'm sure. What are you laughing about? But our relationship with either our Father or our Son is a relationship we see with God our Father. God is love. God so loved us that He gave His Son. None of us have the capacity to do that. I've told y'all before, there is no way in the world that I would give my son for any one of y'all. Not a way in the world. None. I don't have that capacity, number one. Number two, I'd just say, "Can we think of another way?" Now, I have the capacity to give my life for my son. I've got that. We all do that. We've all done the scenario. Somebody comes, hey, take me. I've lived my life, whatever. No, it's not that you've lived your life. Love covers that. I love him more than I love what I've got going on. I want him to have his life. We don't have the capacity to say, tell you what, take this scrapping young man right here. That'll settle it. We don't have that. Only God does. And God has that love about him. I mentioned this again last week. God didn't send his son to die for the angels. The angels don't have the relationship that we have with God. The angels look into and are wanting to understand what that relationship is. They don't understand why we act the way we do, and yet God loves us unconditionally. We all continue to act. This is the quietest I've ever had this class in my life. Did y'all notice that? Thank you. Thank you, Stone, for backing me up on that. We don't have the capacity that God has. When God says, I don't see any of that. All I see is your perfect standing through my perfect Son. And we get that inheritance. Thank God for that inheritance. God is my Father. When I was born of my father, the devil. Not necessarily my earthly father, but spiritually I was born of the devil. I got born again through God my Father. And now, my brother, Jesus Christ, I get the inheritance that he gets. The reason we call each other brother and sister is because we have that inheritance. Thank God that we have a loving God, God the Father, that cares for us. And again, you can plug your son into this, you can plug your daughter into this, however you want to do it. But the project that the Father and Son did for salvation and our relationship. My daughter gave me a card one time and she said, Dad, thank you for showing me God's love through how you father. Man, that meant a lot. It meant a whole lot that she could see God's love through me. And I think that's what we all need to see is God's love, either through us being a father or us being a son. If you got your dad today, still here, thank God. Call him, tell him you love him. Brother Stewart ended yesterday with some very sound advice. I thought it was phenomenal. He said, live in a smaller house and drive a less fancy car and spend time with your kids. Amen? Time is what's going to make the difference. And if you think they're going to raise themselves and come out okay, man, you're just throwing on society something we don't want. But if you'll put time into it and mold and make them, by the way, what our Heavenly Father does for us, the results will show themselves. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day that we could spend, Lord, looking into your Word. And Lord, thank you for you being the Father that you are and, Lord, the example that we have. Lord, I pray for the fathers that are here today that have heard your Word. Lord, I pray for them and, Lord, the children that we have. Lord, the praises that we give you and Lord, just the broken hearts that we get out of it. Lord, we know that we break your heart. And, Lord, help us to overcome. And, Lord, through your love, Lord, just show your love to those that are here. Lord, be it our children or, Lord, just those who've come into your house today for a sanctuary, Lord, that we don't know the situations, but Lord, that we would extend a friendly hand, Lord, that they would feel you and your presence. Father, again, thank you for the day, Lord, that we could recognize our fathers, Lord, that we would be recognized as well. And And Lord, again, just help us to be conscious of the fatherly love that you've given us. Lord, thank you for the project of you and your son, Lord, for creation and salvation and, Lord, the things that, Lord, only your mind could do. Lord, we thank you again and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.